Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 293, a good old-fashioned box office report.
Hey!
A return to form,
yes.
If you will.
Oh, and you will. For the week ending June 25th, 2017. So before we forget, we will go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. We got a full house.
The crew's returned.
We've got all four of us together.
All right, see you guys later.
Okay. Might be a while before that happens.
Yeah.
It'll happen on the next episode.
Oh.
Correct.
Because we're going to record it after this
wink.
One.
The next four.
A little glimpse behind the curtain as to how we do this. But
is there something going on?
not for us.
But after that, let's see. Dan's out working, and then Kevin's getting married and going to Disney World. Are you taking your wife?
Yeah, I decided to.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, but hey, I highly recommend the single rider line.
Oh, yeah. Interesting move, Kevin. Interesting move.
It's a
bold move.
Yes. Kevin got on me when you were editing the Father's Day episode, and he was like, well, no, I wasn't not there because of Father's Day. I was in Kansas City for my bachelor party, and I'm like, well, that makes it worse, Kevin.
Unbelievable.
But so Kevin just wanted me to make sure everybody knew that he wasn't gone for a good reason.
Yeah,
to
he was
spend
gone
time
for a reason.
With his child. It was
to get drunk and look at boobs.
Yes.
Well, not in that order.
What happens in Kansas City stays in Kansas City.
No, it gets put
Kansas,
on the news.
Oh, Kansas, is that right?
Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri?
Missouri.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's Kansas City. That is Kansas City,
no, Kansas
only.
Kansas City, Missouri.
Sorry, buddy. It's put on Facebook.
Not
Twitter,
the way it works. So
whoops.
So if you listened to the previous episode and you were under the illusion that Kevin was a good father and he was out celebrating with his child, let me assuage you of that notion.
We
would like to issue a full retraction.
Let's pump those brakes because you and I were here. So,
but it's in my house.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. Okay, so it's just me then. Perfect.
I'm just glad I didn't want to have to sue you guys for libel. But I mean,
why would we? Why? What happened? What do we do now?
Because we insinuated that he was a good father.
Right. Yeah. What were we thinking?
So. Whoops. Yeah. Our apologies. Yeah. Does Hallmark make a card for that?
Sorry for being a crappy dad.
Future note to editor Kevin, start recording now. Okay.
We just won't leave a gap for you.
We'll just keep talking.
Constant jibber jabber.
We got to start a tangent real quick.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
So shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously, and we greatly appreciate it. You could join the League of Show Sharers by going to facebook.com/realspoilers and sharing the show with friends and or loved ones, depending upon your privacy settings. So people who were kind enough to share the show this week: Timmy Tuzoons, Librarian Cynthia, Chris Sanders, Nick Scott, Tammy Sherman Powers, Linnea Thunzel, Julianne Jordan, Griffin Fox Smith, Brent Smith, no relation, Travis T. Witt, Tom Kaminsky, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Andrew Ortman, Zach Bach.
I mean, you tried.
I tried.
Yeah,
it's really hard.
Yeah.
Brad Hyen, Travis T. Witt, and Lane Levanway. So, have you cheated?
No.
Are you a cheater?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Positive?
Positive.
Young man?
That was weird.
I don't think he could have cheated this time.
Why is that?
Why?
Too busy.
That's also true.
Okay, so.
Yes.
Do you think we have an iTunes review?
I do.
Do you not think we have an iTunes review? And what was making you think such a thing?
Explain yourselves.
I have a 50-50 chance of getting this right.
or wrong.
Do you have a 50-50 chance of getting it wrong?
That's also both, yes. Yeah.
That's the great thing. You don't have to choose. It's both.
Yes, we do.
Hey, no rock dog.
I've learned not to come over here and try and maximize the screen for us, because I think he's picking up if I go to the thing.
Well, I think you're giving me way too much credit.
I'm sorry. Again, hang on. This is kind of like Kevin's retraction. Let me apologize to the police officer for thinking he might have had some good deduction reasoning.
Like, you're giving me too much credit for my skills of observation.
I just want to say,
the World Series of Poker. He's at Mattel. I noticed the way he scratches his forehead.
His eyebrow ticks forward. Four times when we have a new review.
You're going to have to start wearing like baseball caps and sunglasses.
Yeah. I'll look like the Unabomber.
Douchebag those guys are.
Is there a lot riding on whether or not Joe's right or wrong? I feel like there's $1 million.
I mean, in my professional life, yes.
But
it's a World Series of Podcast shares.
The World Series of Podcasts. There you go.
Trademark Real Spoilers.
Yeah.
So we have a new review.
Great.
This is from Chuck Taylor 1, presumably because the guy who makes the shoes had already left us a review.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. He says, best show for movie fanatics. Well, he actually says for movies fanatics, but
we'll take care of him.
I'm going to fix it.
Well, I think what he meant was best show for movies, or fanatics.
Oh, I see.
Ooh. I mean, whatever.
So he says, I found this show only a month ago and have already went through about 20 episodes. I'm really impressed with the overall knowledge on films these guys have. The guys have great chemistry and great insights and are fun to listen to whether you are interested in the movie or not, because so many other things pop up in the show that are entertaining, i.e. Tangents. Yes. The best thing I like listening to is the Fried Taco shows, where these guys pull out bad movies that they can't help but love. I actually purchased Ishtar.
Nice. Because that's awesome.
Wow.
That's
great. You are welcome. Yeah. It's a delight. It is.
This is fun. I'll have to rewatch that. It's been vlogged.
Yeah.
Dan's neither confirming nor denying, by the way.
He's like, I'm willing to entertain the notion.
He's got his Amazon thing open now. He's buying it as we speak.
Yeah, I think it's like $7 on Blu-ray or something. So,
well, thank you, Chuck Taylor 1, a.k.a. Dan.
So he says, please do more Fried Taco episodes if you guys read this. My Fried Taco is the film Oscar with Sylvester Stallone.
I love Oscar.
That's good.
Oscar's
that's fun.
I can't deny that's a bad movie, so I would...
Is it a John Landis movie?
It might be.
I think it is. That's a fun movie. I like that movie a lot.
It's fun.
I talked about that on Tom's
Stallone
Wedding.
Stallone had a weird period there where he was trying, like, he was doing a lot of,
it was like Rhinestone.
That's Deep Fried Taco.
That's way back, though. Like, this is like Stopper My Mom Will Shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rhinestone, Oscar. I think, was like 83 or 84.
That was like the beginning of his, like, I'm going to branch
funny.
Out.
Yeah.
I'm a funny guy.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
So then he has a little bit more. He says other episode ideas would be worst directors or best or worst actors and actresses. Awesome show. Subscribe now, kids. So thank you very much for the kind review. I wonder how he stumbled upon us.
Yeah, if you're listening, shoot us a message on Facebook and let us know how you find it.
If you just
search movie reviews or whatever, let us know how you find it.
It helps us replicate that if we did something accidentally that worked. So so thanks for that. So I guess that's it for this. We can turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom. This thing's a little dusty, but I just blow it off and it's good as new.
And what about your abacus?
Zing! That's fine. That's perfect. You guys took good care of it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So we have a big movie, I mean, you would think, this weekend. Does anyone want to guess what Transformers 5 opened to?
Domestically or?
Domestically.
25.
Wow, that's okay.
Domestically, I want to say 47.
I already know.
The last movie, which was...
Dark Side of the Moon.
No. Age of Extinction was the fourth one that introduced us to Cade Yeager, Mark Wahlberg's character. Open to $100 million domestic.
Oh, well.
So that's why I was like 25.
I might have to revise mine a little bit.
Yes, yeah.
Not quite. $40 million.
Well...
That's what you get for making it.
The last one opened to 100.
Yeah, now, but it also, this opened on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
So 40 is its weekend number.
That's true. Okay, 64. 64.
Why did they do that? Because they think that they had a big movie. And
two extra.
It's two extra days. It's also to get the diet. They don't want date night Friday not to be able to get tickets because all diehards bought tickets. So they know that diehards will gravitate to opening day.
Is that even
day.
A thing anymore?
Are there diehards?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, apparently no.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. I can understand the first one because the nostalgia button got pushed. But, man, after that second one, I have not seen one of these since the second one.
But you look at the numbers up till this one.
Yeah, I mean, 100 million, that's legit.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's a ton of money.
100 million's huge. And but then 65 million, that is a huge drop.
Yeah.
We see the trend.
Yeah, good.
But we know where the money's coming from for these babies.
Yeah. Right.
So for the last movie, Age of Extinction, it made 858 million overseas alone.
Did they introduce Grimlock?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it was always one of my favorite Transformers.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So, I don't know. Do we have a foreign number yet? I don't know if we do. Yeah, I don't know that we have one yet. No, I guess not. So we don't know what the foreign is yet. But just think about that. Almost 900 million alone on Age of Extinction overseas. So that's where the money is. We all know it. But it's the same story with The Mummy and with every other blockbuster type
Fast
action movie
that comes out.
The Fast and Furious movies, exactly. So we'll have to see what happens with this one, but that's a huge drop.
It is. They cannot be happy with that.
With a 5-day weekend.
Yeah.
65 with 5 days.
Yeah.
But I also think they don't give a crap about the American box office.
No, but at some point you have to. I mean,
it's if they have diminishing returns overseas, though. That's the reason why this movie happened. Because the last one
it was awful. Right?
Based on my Wikipedia or IMDb recap, because I hadn't seen it. But then the last one, it even took place partially in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Which, really? You know, it was like, wow, they were feeding
the audience. So I started watching that one. I started watching the last one because I was like, Mark Wahlberg's in both of these, so there's going to be characters I don't know who they are.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I got about
at all.
Halfway through it. I was like, nah, I don't care. Nah. I'm done. Yeah. I can't do this anymore.
You know who else doesn't care? The people who made this movie.
Also true.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I feel like we'll get into it, but Michael Bay, we've talked about him before. Like, I'm a big fan of The Rock, and Dwayne Johnson, but also the movie.
Right.
And Bad Boys 1 and 2 are really good. And after that, it's kind of like...
Michael Bay is still living in the 90s. Like, I totally felt like, I was like, oh my God, this movie's just like, I walked into a theater in like 1996.
Yeah.
Because it, like, everything looks the same. It looks like a 90s movie. I'm surprised Smash Mouth wasn't on the soundtrack.
They were serving Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah. I mean, it is so 90s. It
couldn't be any worse than that Pepsi with the hot sauce in it now. Have you seen that?
No.
Yikes.
I went to the dine-in theater. Yeah. They were trying to give me like Zima and Jolly Rancher.
Yes. Well, Zima's just coming back. Like, yeah, it's fine. Like, they've
had acid washed jeans.
Yeah. I mean, my hair just grew. I had a mullet.
I had my Umbro shorts.
I wish my hair just grew. I'd sit through a Michael Bay movie if it would make my hair grow.
So we'll get into it next
All
episode.
All the grunge singers are alive.
Oh, rest in peace, grunge singers.
Well, most of the grunge singers were alive.
Three-fourths of them.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that one next time. And by next week, we'll have to give an update on the
Wonder Woman
box
will
office.
Be number one again. Oh, no. Wonder Woman will not be number one next week.
There's a lot of stuff coming out,
Spider-Man.
Though. Spider-Man. Well, not next week, but...
Yeah.
Spider-Man's next week.
July 7th.
Spider-Man's July 7th.
Oh, what is this week?
Baby Driver.
And I think Despicable Me will probably be
there. Oh, okay.
So it's she's not going to beat Despicable Me in week five or whatever. Yeah,
no. But speaking of Wonder Woman, though, still
I love how we refer to it as she.
She.
Yeah.
She not will not
the,
beat
not
them.
It. Not the movie. It's her.
She will not beat.
Yeah.
Them.
But still retaining that number two spot is Wonder Woman with 27 million, a 35% drop in week four.
Ooh,
so
buddy.
we told you this thing would have legs.
And whatever you do, don't Google Wonder Woman and number two.
Oh,
that's a bad idea.
Where's your Maraca, Dan?
I think he's just all right. Yeah.
I was telling people not to.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'm just...
So we talked about, we knew when this movie came out that it would have legs. We, you know, judging on the word of mouth.
And I love how Dan immediately shoots me the side eye. What's he going to do?
Don't you do it.
I was like, do I make a pantyhose joke? But like, leg with two G's, I don't know if enough people remember those. And so then I was like, maybe I do a ZZ Top joke. But then the moment had passed.
I thought about it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So $320 million domestic, and this is, you know, for a big superhero type movie, we know that they find a lot of money overseas, but $320 million over here,
it's legit.
That's big money. Yeah. And going over to the foreign side, it's at about 300. So it's about, you know, neck and neck with the foreign and domestic box office.
Which is interesting. Like, that doesn't happen often. Yeah. where they're side by side. But I think
it just depends on how it's rolling out over there, though.
Oh,
too.
That's true.
You know, because it's there isn't a set formula yet, and maybe there never will be, for how movies roll out overseas.
Right.
And sometimes they roll out first, sometimes they roll out after, and sometimes, because China keeps such a throttle on it, sometimes those movies, you know, they might not get released in China until 4 weeks later. Oh. Other times, they never get released in China.
Does it
just
say
depends.
Where it has been rolled out?
It does give me a breakdown, and it doesn't arrange it by like highest grossing countries.
Has it been in Japan already? China
has made $83 million, and let's see, the other big ones, $20 million in Mexico. That's pretty big. $14 million in South Korea. $20 million in the UK. So there's some. It's pretty wide.
It's an untested property, but that's Suicide Squad numbers, right?
Not quite yet, but because I think Suicide got up to like 700 or something.
Did it?
But still, 4 weeks, 600 million worldwide. So that's fantastic for
Wonder Woman's Academy Award winning Suicide Squad.
For Wonder Woman's first film outing.
Yeah. First solo outing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's huge for it to have those numbers, obviously, for the continued success of the character and for what possibly it will mean for the DC extended universe.
Yeah, we'll see.
With all these reshoots.
Who knows? I mean, we'll see. Chris Lord and the two guys from Han Solo got the boot.
I hope they go to Flash.
They were on Flash originally. Right.
That would be the easy play.
And then, because all the Flash guys left, it's not like they'd be taking someone's job. Like, there is no Flash director. Right.
There's nothing
so
there.
It would be smart for them, for DC, to
snatch them
to
up.
Snatch them up, yeah. Because we've already seen the beginning of the tonal shift.
Yep.
Obviously, Whedon stepping in, there's a tonal shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then go with those guys.
Those guys for Flash would
and
be
perfect.
And
then they could sort of explain away his cameo in BVS. You know, yeah. So because that was the thing that like threw everybody off. What was that?
Yeah, what happened?
Don't worry, we're gonna throw another dream on top of that. So, pull those guys in because they're free.
Did they say that they were 70 days away from finishing shooting?
Yeah, they
Han
were
Solo?
Almost done.
Hmm.
We've talked about the whole sandbox thing before.
Yep.
So.
Yeah,
and it looks like they haven't done enough damage that like Trank had done to himself.
No, they didn't do any kind of damage like that.
That was personality driven. He was just being a
peacock.
And right.
They didn't even give Trank the keys to the car.
No. Right.
They're like,
Well, I mean, like the whole Fantastic Four thing,
mm-hmm.
where right. he talked himself into a wall.
But they're not saying anything. It's not that. It's just that, you know, from reading more into the story, I love those guys. I think they're great directors. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 1 and 2, Jump Street 21 and 22, mm-hmm. and then, of course,
Lego Movie. Cloudy 2.
They at least produced it.
They were a Lego Movie, right?
But then, of course, I was going to say the Lego Movie and then producing Lego Batman. Everything they've done has been hilarious. And so I like those guys. But when I read about it, you kind of have to trust Kathleen Kennedy because look at what she's produced.
When I read about it, I was like, it sounds like these guys were never the right guys. I feel like they wanted a sarcastic Han Solo.
And that's not who he is.
Well, he can
well, no,
be.
He is, but
he can be. But it sounds, and so they wanted somebody that could make that could. They wanted those sarcastic lines to be funny, but I think they went too far that direction, and they wouldn't rein it back in. What it sounds
they
like.
They were turning it into a comedy.
Yeah,
and there's a difference between a dark, sarcastic, dry sense of humor, sometimes interjecting.
Right,
and they were turning it into an improv fest.
Well, and this was also, I mean, this is Lawrence Kasdan's last Star Wars movie.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A lot of the people who had read the script or talked about it the insiders had said this is
a really good,
one of the best ever.
They said one of the best Star Wars scripts ever. And so
you have to sort of like...
And you gotta take that baby. You gotta cradle that baby.
Yes. You also gotta remember, even though Lawrence Kasdan didn't create Han Solo, he certainly, I think, created the Han Solo that people love. Like
Empire.
People think of Han Solo, they think of Empire.
And that's him.
That whole "I love you, I know" is improvised, but it's improvised within the
parameters
that they put him in in that movie,
literally and figuratively,
you know.
Nice. But I get it, though. The thing is, again, as much as I love those guys, they're great directors. They've got a great comedic mind, you know, together. They're awesome. But if you're changing the story and and this is a movie set up for three pictures, the Han Solo is going to be a trilogy. So
you would think that you would just keep your mouth shut. It's almost like Mark Wahlberg in these Transformers movies, though, where he's just like, yeah, I got a franchise now.
But you know what? The problem is, see, they're not Trank. They've done five hit movies and Community and Last Man on Earth. They've proven, so like they now can say no and just walk away because they don't care. It's their integrity is more important, and they've got the next job.
I hear what you're saying, but there's also something to say where you have a three-picture deal with Lucasfilm on Star Wars. You know,
well, like maybe, I don't know that they had a three picture, but
they also, I mean, these guys are heavily into improv, and that's fine on the set of Jump Street.
Right.
These movies are really expensive.
Yeah.
And these sets and the crew time on these movies are extremely expensive. I mean,
and that's also just a
massive production.
It's just a different skill set and a different voice. I think everybody here likes Quentin Tarantino, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to see Quentin Tarantino direct a Star Wars movie?
Nope. I don't want to see his James Bond movie either.
It's almost,
I don't.
A part of me kind of does just for that, what the hell am I going to walk into?
You want to see that train wreck?
Yeah, as a morbid curiosity.
Yes.
And he might even make a great one, but he wouldn't make a great Bond movie. He'd make a great Tarantino movie with James Bond.
I agree.
And those are different things, and they're trying to make movies that can be replicated by other directors. It's the same thing they've taken the comic book model and applied it to movies to where it's like, no, we have a house style. I don't care how great of an artist you are and that you can make this look like Rembrandt. We're not selling Rembrandts.
Yeah, we're selling Superman. Yeah.
We're selling Supermans, and you need to go in there and draw me some Supermans.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
unless you're Jim Lee and just like, how many books a month can you do? Yeah. Oh, and half of one?
And I think at the end of the day, I think Ron Howard is the perfect choice.
I think it's a very inspired choice. It's a very smart choice,
because
too.
Ron Howard, and I don't mean this as an insult, Ron Howard is not an auteur.
No.
Howard is a craftsman.
He's a journeyman.
Yeah, he's a craftsman. And I mean that as a compliment. Like, when you walk into a Tarantino movie, if it doesn't say directed by Tarantino within 3 minutes, you will know.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is not how Ron Howard makes a movie. Ron Howard doesn't want to get in the way of the story. You can't walk out of a Ron Howard movie and know, like, oh, I could tell that was Ron Howard.
Yeah,
we've talked about how versatile of a director Ron Howard is. I mean, I think we talked about it with Rush. I think in Rush, we were talking about all his other stuff and how he can go from movie to movie.
He's had so many movies that people don't even realize
are him.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely. He doesn't have to put his look.
Does
right
Apollo 13 seem like a Ron Howard movie? Like, what
is
about
it the one
that
put him on the map? Like, is that the one where he,
oh, no, I would say Splash put him on the map.
Oh, yeah, right on.
But, or even Night Shift.
Yeah.
I mean,
Smash,
Night Shift was a hit.
Cocoon.
I mean,
these are
How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Hits.
Yeah. I mean,
he's all over the place.
I mean,
he does a lot of very different movies. And because he comes from that generation, I mean, he's, you know, you forget.
He's a Corman guy, right?
Yeah.
He started with Corman.
Yeah. And you forget that, with Grand Theft Auto and Eat My Dust was
I think
one,
so.
Right? Yeah. And, but people forget that, I mean, he's been making movies since like
the 70s.
Well,
he's been
60s.
He's been in front of the camera.
Maybe
since
even
the
late 50s,
right?
If you count. I mean, I'm counting as a child actor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he was in Music Man.
Right.
He was in Music Man.
He's absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he grew up in the industry, so he understands how it works. And, I mean, if you want somebody, you need somebody who's one they've had experience with, and they have worked with him, and he's going to put the cards back in place.
Right.
Yeah.
And don't forget, With all of those qualifications for Ron Howard to make him a good choice, we haven't even touched on the fact that he's worked with Lucas.
Yes, right.
That's very
he
true.
He was in American Graffiti.
That's a great point.
He directed Willow,
yeah,
which was a Lucas film.
Oh, that, he did direct Willow.
Yeah, yes, and so he's worked with Lucas as an actor and as a director.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
how has he not shown up before?
Like, honestly, it's like this guy was created in a laboratory to take over this goddamn movie.
Yeah.
Like, I would be stunned if he screws the pooch.
He won't.
No, he won't. No. And I don't think nobody will let him.
Yeah.
Like, even if he tries, and he's not gonna try to do something crazy.
And if it does end up not being good, it's because of what they already had in the can wasn't good enough.
Right.
I don't think it'll be his
He's
fault.
Also, I mean, I think they're using, you gotta think, he's got two hats that he wears very successfully. He's also a producer. He's a producer.
Well,
I feel his pain.
But he's a producer. So he gets how productions work.
Yeah.
So he knows what needs to be done on the, so he's not going to cost them more money.
No.
Right.
No.
The guy's
probably going to save them a little money because
and if he does cost them money, it will be appropriate. He'll be like, "You need to spend $12 million on this, but here's what it'll fix."
Yeah, we'll fix this.
Yeah.
But it's going to be
Honestly, like, I don't know that there's anybody in Hollywood who understands all facets of the industry.
Right.
I would say as much as Ron Howard. But Zemeckis was never an actor.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean,
right.
You figure
Affleck, maybe?
But he has been doing it for
not
60 years.
That's also true.
You know what I mean?
That's
you look at Ron Howard, you got a guy who grew up in front of the camera, but he wasn't just a child actor, right? Like, I mean, he had two hit, not only hit, but legendary, like, iconic sitcoms under his belt. And then he takes on and steps into a hit iconic film and then walks away from acting essentially because he wants to be a director and then does it successfully for the rest of his life.
Know, maybe Eastwood.
He's been doing it so long that his daughter is now in the same system.
Correct.
And is working in the same circle.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Eastwood is kind of, when you talk about longevity and in front of and behind the camera, he's kind of the only other guy that I would think of.
Yeah. He's
the only, he's it.
Yeah.
And he barely.
But you wouldn't want him to take over this movie.
No.
Again.
No.
Kinda.
Kinda.
He also
runs morbid curiosity.
You wouldn't watch anyone take over anything.
Eastwood
runs a much quieter, slower paced set.
Yes.
He's a very quiet director.
Correct.
And they need, you know,
they recast
his
kid
quick.
Like, you're out. We're putting Scott in that role now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's
in the heart of the sea.
I was thinking about, like,
nobody bats a thousand.
Yeah, yeah,
no, I know.
But the amount of stuff he's directed, though.
Yeah,
like,
but that's like, what feature is that for him? I mean, how many features until we got to In the Heart
40,
of the Sea?
Right, yeah. You
know? Right, yeah.
I'm just like,
I mean, there are certainly a couple of stiffs on there.
Some stinkers, but
again, nobody bats a thousand. I was talking about this the other day when they're talking about, somebody asked me, can I think of any actor that has never turned in a bad performance? And I was like, well, the only one that really comes to mind is, I can never remember from Saturday Night with John Caviezel, but he died so young that it was like, he was in five movies.
Oh, I was like, the guy that played Jesus?
No, the guy.
Yeah,
maybe they had to get his name to John.
I know who you're thinking of.
Henry Cavill?
The guy,
Henry Cavill?
Fredo?
Yeah. Fredo.
Fredo.
That's right. What the hell is his name?
Fredo. He was
Jim Caviezel's
Jesus.
Fredo. Yeah, he was incredible in everything he was in. He died very young. Yeah, he died very, very young.
Okay. Yeah, and because he was in, I think, five movies.
He was in Dog Day Afternoon.
Yeah. He was in Godfather 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. He was in The Conversation.
Yeah.
And he was in The Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Incredible.
Sure, you're right.
He was in five movies, and all five of those movies were nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a track record.
That's a hell of a track record. But again, he was in five movies. So, like, that's a little, like, you know, but I was saying that, like, I don't think you can find an actor that's never turned in a bad performance who's a great actor, because here's the thing, great actors swing for the fences. And so the same great actor that will make on paper seems like an insane choice as an actor will give you, that's what gives you Jack Sparrow, but it's also what gives you Tonto Dark Shadows.
Do you think there's an actor who, even in a bad role, in a bad movie, it was still like, that guy was pretty good. He was fun to watch.
Yeah, I think we watched one, and we'll talk about it in our next hour.
Oh, yeah. I was also going to say no one bats a thousand, too, but
I think like Bruce Willis, for me, up until Cop Out.
Yeah.
Cop Out to me is that, like, I would watch that dude in anything.
But I think there are a lot of actors that are in bad movies but turn in good performances.
What about Leonardo DiCaprio? What's the movie where you're like, he was so bad in that?
Oh, that's a good.
He's a pretty.
That's a good.
He's a
call.
Pretty excellent actor. Whether you know, you didn't really care for the movie.
I mean, Romeo and Juliet.
I didn't like him on
Growing Pains.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's I knew he was on. Was
turd.
Well, we'll talk about these actors in the next movie and see what we thought of them. But Cars 3. Number three, so they've been waiting for that. Week two, though, so they kind of screwed it up. Cars 3 made $26 million, a 52% drop in its second week. That is $100 million domestic total so far, and overseas, 20. So that's one that probably hasn't rolled out quite. I feel like these are puns, but I'm not trying. That is one that probably hasn't opened
so
completely
you
overseas.
You need to say roll out when we talk about Transformers.
Well, right.
Yeah. That's where
Autobots, roll out.
Oh, man. Yeah. Like, I love that guy's voice.
Oh, he's great.
So
Peter Cullen?
Yes.
I'm so glad they've used him since the beginning.
Yeah, like, you could never, even if they recasted it, you could never get anybody to duplicate that Optimus voice. Like,
it has to be
iconic.
Peter Cullen, yeah.
Yeah.
Was it also Frank Welker from Megatron.
Yeah.
Remember, they used Hugo Weaving in the first
Citizen Kane, or what did Citizen Kane, what did Orson Welles do in the cartoon?
He was Unicron.
Unicron.
Was he?
I didn't watch the cartoon because I was...
Have you never watched the cartoon?
I was 35 when it came out. I do recommend, I recommend it. Like, it's a lot of fun.
It's good.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
It's, yeah, so...
Maybe just plug some extra hours in my time machine and...
Because McCoy, Nimoy was...
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the next episode.
All right.
So
anything to not talk about the actual film.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
I don't normally look forward to discussing the Transformers cartoon, I'll take it.
We should do an audio commentary right now. Yeah. And we'll avoid doing Transformers 4.
Yeah. So Cars 3, 100 domestically, another 20 million overseas.
They
so that one
can't be happy with that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I saw it this weekend and there was no one in the theater. Second weekend release, I saw it on a Saturday at noon and during summertime,
and it was serviceable.
I enjoyed it
but like
I didn't hate the second one. I just feel like
I didn't either.
I just think if it weren't for Lasseter's personal passion for it, I don't think we would have seen it.
And if it weren't for how many toys
I just re-listened to it,
I think it's like five different Lightning McQueens in one movie.
I was counting them in the theater.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But that's what it comes down to is it keeps the franchise in the present tense and it can sell more toys.
Yeah. But I mean, I was in the theater again Saturday noon during summer.
Did you take Ryan?
Second week released. I don't have this weekend.
Okay.
But second week release, you would think that during summer that would be a packed time for the week. You know,
sure.
Three other people in the theater.
Yeah, I said that.
Three other sets with their kids.
Were the kids bouncing around? Or were they sitting down the entire time?
They enjoyed it pretty much, but there was one kid that was like,
"Man,
what's that? What's it?"
Yeah. The kids in my theater were not. Like, when it got to the racing scenes, they were in. But, like, the in-betweens.
The whole time. What's that? What's she doing? Why is she doing that? There is a lot that, So,
not my kid, mind you.
You know, and I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. And
I enjoyed it. Go see it if you like the other ones.
It looked incredible. You know. Like, it looked amazing.
Yeah, I mean, even the trailer, I was like, wow. The physics are so much.
It's pretty impressive.
When they get to the training center with all, like, the lake and the grass and everything, and you're just like, it's photorealistic.
It's on another level. Like, this is another level. They've stepped their game up.
It's amazing.
And that the opening cartoon was adorable.
I mean it's movies like Coco which make me kind of like, I'm like, oh, thank God.
The original
something
stuff.
Different.
Something different. Something a little.
And they got burned with a good dinosaur.
So
hopefully this will be
I think they're well aware of that. You know, but this is one of those ones I'm like, I get it. You know, if it's something that accumulates some profit for them,
sure.
You know,
I guess it's better than going straight to video.
Yeah, it's weird.
Is it
because
you make more money on video.
Well,
no, it's going to go to video
too. It's
still
going to make money on video.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
In 2 weeks, they've made 120. You're not going to make that.
Make money on video. And this is sort of like, it's not quite the same thing, but like when Lucas, when they did the special editions for Star Wars, the reason they did that was, one, testing new technology, and two, to fund the prequels.
Sure
and because, you know, the prequels, say what you will, they are independent productions.
To a degree,
all the money they spent, that was their money,
right?
That's why he got $4 billion, because it was his
these
property,
are all independent
all.
movies. Fox, you know, released it,
right?
But the Fox
didn't touch it.
They didn't pay for the production. There's all these financial groups and Fox, and they all chipped in money. But the initial like actual production was not them.
Yeah.
And this is stuff that like it makes the money. It sounds like it was a serviceable story.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that now Pixar has become like that smaller piece of the pie? You know, like there was that time where Pixar was the pie for Disney, and now it's just like, what else do we have?
Well, Marvel.
I'll tell you what, those Disney movies are better than Pixar. Yeah,
I totally agree.
And I think there's, you know, what it is now that they're doing like two Pixars a year.
Yeah.
We're seeing a, you know, one that like sort of pushes one that, you know, it's like a one for them, one for me.
Yeah. Kind of it's their safety net.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm very impressed with Disney though.
That's why we're going to get another Incredibles. That's why we're going to get a Toy Story 4.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm happy that we're going to get another Incredibles.
Yeah, there should have been another Incredibles a long time ago.
And I'm cool with getting another Toy Story because, you know, they're going to, it's more about like,
it's going to be
Woody
a horror.
Looking for Bo Peep. So it's more of a romance. Yeah.
All right.
So go for it because people love those characters. Yeah. And there is kind of, it's kind of nice to be able to, when you watch those Toy Story shorts with the little girl, you're like, oh, you know, it still works. So I was like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's smart for them. Keep them in the public eye.
I'm wondering how long until we get a Pixar or a Disney animation Marvel movie.
Well, we did.
Like a Big Hero 6. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. But I mean, like they could take any, there's so many properties out there that Marvel has that would lend itself perfectly.
Probably
to an
wait
animated.
Until some of these.
My guess is they'd wait until the live action stuff kind of ran out of gas.
Yeah,
and they'd let it
or
stop
when they don't have Downey and Chris Evans as Captain America. So when those characters go away.
Or what they could do is they could have Downey and Chris Evans voice.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They don't have to spend the time live action.
Right.
Just have them record it.
Apparently, we're going to lose a bunch of Avengers.
No kidding. That's been our thought since the beginning. Yeah, there's
a lot that aren't coming. This
so Robert Downey Jr.
Go.
Isn't going to be in the second Spider-Man.
Yeah, weird.
Hmm.
He's going to be teaming up with a new Avenger.
After Infinity War.
Yeah, strange.
Okay, well, okay. We'll see. Number four, 47 Meters Down, another movie that we talked about last week.
Whoa. What do you mean we?
The proverbial
the royal we.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the proverbial we.
Yeah, at least we're royalty.
Yeah. Right. $7 million is a 38% drop in week two. It's at $23 million domestically. No money overseas because they couldn't get over the sharks. So
there was legit sharks.
Yeah. So they didn't. The film just never made it.
How much money underseas?
Yeah.
That's where it's making all its real money.
And I'm glad Nicole stepped in because I was like, yeah, of course you clear out your mask when you blow bubbles in it.
Well,
guys.
How?
Yeah, come on, you.
You hold it up, you tilt it forward like this. You blow bubbles out of your nose.
Okay.
And air goes inside and pushes the water up.
Okay.
Boy, if she did that, I did not see.
She took the mask off and put it back on.
You could do this too, and you still have to tilt it.
There's no tilting.
Like, no, you have to.
If she did, I didn't see it.
Yeah,
but like, depending on the type of mask, if it has a valve, you can
I
just
appreciate
blow
that
out
you're
your
giving.
Nose.
You can tell which of the fancy pants is going scuba diving.
Whoa!
Are you
where
certified?
Were you on last week's episode, Dan?
I have open, advanced open, and night diving.
Look at you!
All right,
well.
It was me and Tom and Chris. So.
Yeah.
Shut up. Now,
but,
in our defense.
I'll have to say, you know, listener Nicole.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
That was great.
Chief Science Officer Nicole.
Yes, please. Officially.
Yeah. But it was, in our defense, we were like, we have no idea what we're talking about.
No. You didn't try to own, like, well, we know. That's dumb. You just
this
said
is ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't understand.
I don't know how that would work.
Yeah.
So that made around $20 million. So it's, I mean, it sounded like it was okay.
It was good. It was fine.
So number five, All Eyes on Me. That's in its second week in release. I didn't even remember it came out last week.
Yes.
It got a little guff. Got a little bit of guff from... Jada Pinkett, who said that like that is not an accurate representation of our were they a couple or were they just friends?
They were a couple.
I did not know.
Yeah, so, like she said, that's not what we were like. Yeah, that's not an accurate representation of our relationship at all. Like it's disgusting. So I mean, I didn't see the movie, but I don't know what they said or what they did. But
well, it made $6 million, which is a 77% drop, so that was definitely front loaded. It is at $38 million domestically right now. I don't have a budget. There's no foreign, so I can't speak to that.
It is no Straight out of Compton.
No, that's what I was just gonna say. Was he in, like, did they reference him in Compton?
I think
towards the end, maybe.
I think they did towards the end of him. Like he shows up like just like It was like one of those, like, and here's this guy.
Yeah, remember, and this was when they were dropping people. Like, there's Snoop Dogg, and there's Tupac, and there, But that's, like, it's a shame that...
Jimmy two times.
I feel like this could have been another Straight Outta Compton, because I think it's a really interesting story.
It's the story everyone's been waiting for.
Yeah, yeah. They just mucked it up. Yeah. Who directed Compton? Was it, that was a Coogler, was it?
No, that's it was the guy that did Fast 7.
Oh,
wasn't it him?
Freddie.
Is it F. Gary Gray?
Gary Gray. Yeah, yes. Well, that's right. That's what it was.
So
a legit director too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that dude's
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
he's got a $1 billion movie under his belt. So you know,
well, okay.
I'm just saying he does.
Like, no, I know he does. Yeah. I'm just saying what that means as far. Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about another one.
So does Michael Bay.
Yeah,
so
that's also true.
He's got multiple.
Yeah. He's got like the WWE title, the international title, the women's division champion.
It's the intercontinental title.
Oh, so sorry. Number six, The Mummy, $5.6 million.
Kevin says quickly before he starts naming the other titles.
Yes, please. 61% drop with 5.6 this week. Weekend, it dropped out of 1,000 theaters.
Wow!
It has made $68 million domestic.
This thing's not even going to hit 100.
Nope.
Oh, not even close. I mean, it just dropped 1,000 of its theaters.
So,
this thing's gone.
Apparently, he had creative control.
That's what they're saying. Is that he's the one?
Oh,
I wonder.
Yeah.
It was his fault.
Right. Yeah. It's. But I mean, I don't see that being not true. I could see him being like, no, if I'm starring, I'm the star.
And okay, this is now I wouldn't completely blame it on that, but yeah.
I would if I was a studio.
Well, I know exactly, but
I think that's why you don't cast A-listers or people who think they're A-listers in these sorts of movies. Yeah.
To start a franchise.
And I can't help but feel that maybe the story about how much control Tom Cruise had over The Mummy and seen what The Mummy did didn't feed into getting rid of Lord and Miller on Star Wars.
Possibly.
They're like, look, you know, there are so many stories where they change horses midship and they're like, you should have never done it. But when you look at these sorts of movies,
right.
I mean, you know, so far they've been right. All the reshoots on Rogue One and they
totally
were right.
Worth it.
It's like, I don't know what kind of movie Edgar Wright was making for Ant-Man, but Ant-Man still worked.
Yeah. I think the only scene that they left over is the train fight.
Thomas
and the train fight.
Yeah.
Like that was an Edgar Wright thing, but everything else was gone. Like, that was the whole,
and they kept that. I mean, we talked about this. They could have had Chuggington. But they kept Thomas.
Yeah.
Because Chuggington's a Disney train.
Mm. Yeah.
But they didn't do that.
Yeah.
They kept Thomas because it worked.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright, I mean, there was more revealed where it's just he didn't like the fact. Now, remember, he had been developing that movie a lot
pre-Iron Man.
Right.
Pre-Iron Man.
Yeah.
And he didn't really like the fact that they were, like, trying to synergize a lot of, you know, like, oh, you know, like, I don't think he wanted the Falcon in there, and he wanted this to be a standalone movie, and they're like, yeah, no.
Not, yeah. I think pre-Iron Man, it would have been.
Sure.
Post-Iron Man, no longer.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, pre-Iron Man, he would have been Jon Favreau. You know what
I
mean?
Sure,
It could have very well been awesome.
These are all,
and,
you know, those movies, they have to correlate and
same with Star Wars. It makes sense. If you look at that, it's the same kind of creative move. It's you know, Lord and Miller wanted to make it into a Lord and Miller movie, and it's a Star Wars movie, just like Marvel wants a Marvel movie. Yeah. So
back to Tom's point, like those guys they got for the Marvel stuff, they weren't A-listers. No. Robert Downey Jr. was not an A-list actor when he got cast. Nope. All those guys,
it was Moneyball.
Sure,
they were picking guys that
What a great reference, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That they knew had the skills, but hadn't put up the numbers recently.
I love that scene with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and they were just like, you know, well, we know this guy can do it,
right?
And we know we can get him cheap, and we know that he's not going to put up a fight because he needs the work.
Needs
and as soon as Favreau put up a fight, he wouldn't direct movies anymore.
No,
and they still owe him that producer's credit.
Guy
never has to lift a finger again in
and
his
to
life.
His credit, he's just like, what can I do? Oh, Lion King? Yeah, I'm in. Let's do that.
Right.
You know, like he's still working for Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's no
acrimony there.
He was smart enough to not take it personal.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's, you can't with the Marvel model, which is what most of these companies are going to go by now.
Yeah.
You can't
except for the quality portion.
Also true. That is correct. You can't cast an A-list actor because they'll garner too much.
But what they did with
in an untested property and franchise.
But the Mummy, I mean, the struggle with that movie is that it's like, are we watching a Mummy movie or are we watching a Tom Cruise movie?
Yeah,
and so much that they made him, they figured out a way to make him sort of like omnipresent from now on.
Well, we'll say you cast Scott Eastwood, for example, in this main role, it becomes a Mummy movie. Like you get more of the, you'll have Scott Eastwood in there as your hero, yeah, but they're going to focus more on her, you know?
What I thought was interesting is they found a way to have Tom Cruise in all the movies, even if they don't have Tom Cruise.
Correct.
Maybe. So $236 million overseas for The Mummy. So it's at $300 worldwide on a $125 million budget. So, I mean, they're making their money back, but still, that's not what they wanted to jumpstart this franchise.
No. Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens with the other ones. It's kind of...
There's been no movement creatively, I don't think, on anything. So...
Instead of trying to replicate what Marvel does, what Universal should do is not do what DC's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, they need to be looking both directions.
Yeah,
because right now, they're in a place where we can figure out how to succeed or we can avoid failure.
Right.
Well, and the only problem is that The Mummy was nowhere near as good as Man of Steel, if that tells you anything. So.
I mean, that's in a weird, you're right. Like, I would watch The Man of Steel over The Mummy again.
There's no way. I mean, The Mummy... No. I will tell you what. My son wanted to watch The Scorpion King, and I had never seen it. So I'm like, I'll watch it. I wonder if I like The Scorpion King more than The Mummy.
I did like The Scorpion King more than The Mummy.
And we're talking about the new Mummy, right?
Yeah.
I just watched it for the first time, and I'm like, that was fun. That was fine. I mean, yeah, was it cheesy? It wasn't that great.
His first one? That is his first one.
The Rock?
His first leading role.
Yeah.
And it shows. Like, he's stiff as a board, but...
I mean, like, it was fun for that type of movie, for The Mummy stuff.
That dialogue's pretty stiff. Yeah.
It is. You're right. You are correct.
Yeah, so, anyway, we'll see what happens with their little universe they're concocting here. Number 7, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, still sticking around with $5.5 million, a 39% drop in week 5. That's only at $160 million, so that's not too good for them. Hopefully, they'll stop these things. But what about that $500 million over?
You know what's interesting is I think if you had flipped the release dates of Pirates and Mummy, you would have also flipped the grosses.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's got hardly anything domestically, but that $400 and $500 million brings it up to $657 on a $230 million budget. I mean, triple a huge budget like that. So, I mean, Pirates making plenty of money.
Yeah.
It may not be what they wanted. They wanted $1 billion, like with some of the other ones, but...
Don't we all?
Yeah, $600 million is nothing to sneeze at, so I guess they'll make another one with that.
Tell me what I can sneeze at.
No,
I'll sneeze whatever the hell I want to sneeze at.
I didn't tell you to sneeze at it.
You told me not to sneeze at it.
He said, don't sneeze at it.
Hey,
we said
it is nothing to sneeze at.
If I
want to
sneeze at it, I'll sneeze at it.
If you want to, go ahead, Tom. Go ahead.
It's not even allergy season.
Hey. Don't tell me to sneeze at that movie.
So, Pirates 5. I guess they're making another one. Number 8, Rough Night. Did you have to see that one, Tom?
I did not see that one.
Is that the Scarlett Johansson one? Or is that the...
Is that Very Bad Things with...
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Oh my God! I forgot about that movie.
That's Peter Berg.
Which is there a Dylan in that movie?
It's got Christian Slater. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. All right.
But Rough Nights is the one that has
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of female comedians. Uh-huh. I think the poster looks kind of like Bridesmaids or something. Like they're trying to pull off that kind of.
I think it's like a
female Hangover.
Yeah.
Where they kill a guy.
Yeah. Okay. Like Very Bad
Things.
It's
a stripper, I was like, holy crap! It's Very Bad Things.
Interesting. Yeah. So $5 million in week 2 brings it up to $16.9 million. So probably not what they were expecting for a summertime girls' night out movie. It had a $20 million budget. So worldwide, it only made 4 overseas. So I mean, they're just around their budget, and they're already down to number 8. So
goodbye.
Yeah,
that one's home video.
You know, I didn't see Bad Moms until home video.
That was
and
fun.
I enjoyed that. Like that was a lot of fun.
I told you, I loved Bad Moms. I thought it was hilarious. And I'm not the key demo, but it was funny.
Mila Kunis.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's always enjoyable. Yeah. Number 9, Captain Underpants. I gave you my review on that, right?
I think, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. I won't waste any more time with that. $4.8 million, a 32% drop. It is now up to $66 million domestic. $4 million overseas. That's odd. Just...
Because foreigners don't have underpants.
Yeah. That's right.
Duh. Yeah. We've talked about this. Yes. More
than
once.
I saw Paris and I saw France.
Right. But you didn't see any underpants, did you?
Now that I think of it. Huh, okay. Interesting. So
it's because they were captains and they surrendered.
Ta-da.
Waving the flag. Yeah. Makes sense. So yeah, I don't have a budget on that one, but around $64 million. And rounding out the top 10, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, still making money. $3.1 million, a 39% drop in week 8. That is impressive. $380 million domestic, $470 million overseas, almost $850 million worldwide on a $200 million budget.
That's another one where James Gunn, I was thinking about this the other day, he did not have a financial smash until the first Guardians.
Right.
Like, yeah. I think Super was pretty independent.
Yeah, that was
Slither kind of flew under the radar, but found it like didn't do. I don't think it did well in theaters, but found its life on video.
Yeah.
No, he's made some great movies. It's just that
but they're also within their means.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Right. But Guardians was the first, and the second one's another huge hit. So I still think it's amazing that the guy came from Troma.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you look at it, he did like he wrote the first script for, or he worked on.
He wrote Scooby Doo.
Yeah, but he worked on like Toxic Avenger 2 or something.
Yeah.
And they paid him like $1,000 or something, just ridiculous. But he got his name out there, and look where he is now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's an incredible story.
Those are the kind of directors.
Ron Howard came from that same world.
Yeah. Corman, those are the kind of directors that I'm more
Cameron
drawn
came
to.
From that world. Right.
Is the guys who are. Who worked their way up through the independence, if you will, to made it to the big time. Like, and then
that's cool. Like Corman, on the surface, you think like, man, that guy's such a cheapskate. What a jerk! Like not paying people.
He's
and
not a
look
jerk,
where all
though.
These people ended up. Like, it's like he gave them an opportunity.
And he will always say he never lost money on a movie.
Yeah. I believe that he probably didn't.
Corman said flat out. In fact, I think it was to Ron Howard. Ron Howard was like, well, if you let me do this on the next picture, then what I can do. And he was like,
get out of here.
And he's like, if you're any good, there won't be a next picture.
Yeah. Right.
He's like, he goes, you won't direct a second picture for me because you will either be good enough to move on to bigger movies or, you know, mainstream studio film, or you're not good enough and I won't let you do it again. He's like, you're not like there is no next movie for me. You don't understand that. Yeah. Like it's one
and appreciate
done.
That he knows that he's a stepping ground.
Yeah,
or, absolutely.
A diving port. Like it's either or for him, right. You know.
But yeah. So
what did the Big Sick do? Out of curiosity,
the Big Sick is at 5 locations.
Okay,
and made $414,000. So it's on East Coast and West Coast. That's probably not enough to.
I didn't know if it was opening here or not.
It opens
not
here yet, next week. Next week.
Okay. Never mind then.
And just real quick off the limited release, I thought this was interesting. It Comes at Night is at $13 million.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I think that's really solid for that
movie.
That's
very solid for that, for a little horror flick.
Yeah, definitely. So that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. While you're on our Facebook page, you can join our Facebook group, the League of Show Sharers, and you could also just share a show and be a League of Show Sharer members in your heart, if not in your Facebook feed. So... and we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. Thank you to Chuck Taylor 1 who left us a review this week. That was very nice of you.
And
so
don't forget to thank Chuck Taylor.
And Chuck Taylor.
I was wearing Chuck Taylor's last night.
I'm too old. Those shoes don't have enough cushion in them.
Ah, you want the Chuck 2s.
Oh, I see that.
Ah. Yeah.
So Dan, there's a Chuck Taylor 2, so Chuck Taylor 1 snuck in. He forced Chuck Taylor to get a different name.
Although, let me just tell you, Jill Insole. You can just throw some of those in there. And then.
Yeah, I try that, and I feel like it makes my shoe not fit right. Mm. They're too thick. Mm. So,
All right.
This is old man.
By a size or a half a size up?
Yeah, this is old man discussion going
Tom's
on
Tom's just
here.
Wearing the New Balances.
Yeah.
609.
Yeah. He's giving up, New Balance going 609. Straight to something orthopedic.
Officially in dad shoes.
Yeah. Like I have, like, Frankenstein shoes on.
Yeah, right. I mean, there were times in like high school and college I wore New Balances because I have wide feet and I feel so old, but it's like nothing fits right. So.
I know I have the same. I have New Balance condoms. for that same reason.
For that exact reason?
Yeah. It's the cross-eyed bear.
That's the cross-eyed bear.
Stop.
So anyway, that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next episode, God help us all, we will tackle Transformers Revenge of the Second.
Would that be in 60 minutes?
Yeah. Can we do a 50 minutes of
song? Yes.
Oh, man.
So,
all right,
anyway,
we'll give it a go.
So trust me, you've been warned.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. The Transformers, robots in disguise. The Transformers.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you.